It's The Bill Murphy Show, a daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
With Music Friday for Friday, January 21st, 2011, brought to you by Lulu's Bait Shack, the home of the original music night every Wednesday night in Beach Place on A1A in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. Part of the subject of today's Music Friday as we bring on one of the guests for this coming Wednesday's original music night as we feature the So-Sos. And Chris, is it Monteleone or Monteleone? Sorry?
Monteleone.
All right, there you go. So the E at the end is silent. So I never really used your last name out loud. It just,
that's true, man.
I typed it. So, yeah, and the So-Sos is a band we've been very excited about getting into Lulu's for Original Music Night. It's still a work in progress. We're still trying to make something out of this scene here in Broward County. I think Dade County's got a little bit of an edge on us, and we're trying to catch up with them, you know?
No way.
But work hand in hand with them. And Chris heads up a band called So-Sos. Let's first get into your background and how you got So-Sos started. I know you have an engineering and producing background and to go along with your musical career. So tell me how you ended up forming So-Sos. I'm sure it's a product of all of the musical musical influences you've had up to this point.
Yeah, of course. Basically, the way the project got started was I was playing in many different bands, and I would, like, you know, I'd write songs and I'd give them to the band, and a lot of times the singer wouldn't sing my lyrics, or you know, it would turn into something I didn't really want. So when I started running my own studio, I used to own a Soundbox recording studio down in Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Right.
I started working on my own stuff, and, you know, it just putting down tracks, and even though I didn't play all the instruments, like I wasn't a drummer or anything like that, I started kind of, you know, building tracks and putting drum tracks down and playing and teaching myself more instruments. I learned how to play piano, just self-taught, and started putting these songs together. And next thing you know, I'm coming up with an album here. And then I would kind of like hire other guys to come in and play on it. You know, like I had Dave Simmons. He plays with Damian Marley. He came in and laid down some drum tracks for me. And then I got some other cats to come in and lay down some bass lines and, you know, some of the best local guys. And next thing you know, I've got an album together, but I had no band. So, and it was funny because I had a hard time putting a band together. I kept on trying to get people to listen and maybe, you know, help me out and put a band together, and all the people I wanted, you know, play a little bit, but they just didn't have the drive, I guess.
Right.
So I started, once I got that album done and I put it out there, I started getting people kind of flocking to me. Next thing you know, I was able to kind of pick and choose who I wanted to play with me, and I put this band together. So So-Sos kind of formed out of that album project.
Now,
together,
being the studio head that you are, the kind of, you know, techie, technical kind of guy who's, you know, got the producing skills as well as the musical ability down, is it, I take it you still prefer the organic, real playing as opposed to assembling parts together in MIDI and editing and fine-tuning with the computer, right? You're still all about the organic performance, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. It's kind of funny is when I listen to my CD versus CDs I've done for other people, I think sonically a lot of the other stuff I've done sounds better. Because my music, I try to keep as pure as possible. I don't try to manipulate the instruments and make them sound like something they're not. Like,
right.
Number one, what people do with drums is they're always over compressing and turn, you know, you get a real rock drum sound. You can make them sound like cannons going off. But in reality, drums just don't sound like that.
Right.
You know, so, you know, when I approached the studio, I said, all right, well, I want it to sound like when we're rehearsing without a PA. Like, we sit around in a circle when we rehearse. We don't plug anything in. We just sing out loud and play out loud. And I love the way that feels. It's almost like the way bluegrass was recorded, you know?
Sure.
You know, you get a bluegrass band, they throw up a couple mics and they just record, and that's it. And that doesn't necessarily work for our music, but it's kind of that approach, more of a, you know, catching the real sound of the music, the real, you know, the musicianship, you know? Letting us come through a little bit more.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like the real performance, and you know, that sterile sort of assembled sound, even though sonically it can be nice after a while, it kind of wear on, the monotony of it all can kind of wear on you. You know how that is. And, you know, we could suffer from fatigue just listening to such monotonous stuff sometimes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So without any, I know everybody that is a fan of So-So's already. Now, is it So-So's or the So-So's? And are you meticulous about that?
Yeah, just So-So's.
Just So-So's. Right. Okay. So don't put the on there. So the fans that are familiar with So-So's, and we'll get into the origin of the name after we do this, but we're the fans would be familiar with your music already, but those of you who are listening and are new to So-So's and are thinking about coming out to Lulu's, let's take a listen, and then we'll talk about the genre and what the genre is and where you categorize it, and then get into the origin of the name. Now, the first cut we're going to play here is called I Don't Know. This is from your newest record. Talk to us a little bit about this song before we play it.
Yeah, actually, the new record isn't out yet. It's very close. We're working on cover design and how we're actually going to release the album. I was throwing around maybe releasing it on a zip driver, you know, those little USB sticks.
Cool.
Instead of doing a CD, but you know, we're kind of still tossing around how we're going to release this thing. This new track kind of it's weird. It's called I Don't Know, and it really came out of nowhere. Just woke up one morning and I was playing it. And it kind of just wrote itself, which tends to be me. Those are like my favorite songs when I don't really have to put much thought into it.
Yeah.
No, just have a listen. It's a very easy song to listen to, radio friendly, I'd say. It tends to be a lot of people's favorite.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that doing this show with the various musicians, how they're always the songs that just seem to write themselves and come out of nowhere are the ones they like the best. And so I guess we're going to get to listen to one of those here. And you're telling me this is sort of world premiere-ish, so some of your fans that are familiar with the band may not have even heard this new track yet.
Well, this one we've been playing out for a while.
So okay.
Heard this one, but the other two that I sent you over, only a few people have heard.
All right, well, we'll get to those in a bit. But first, here's I Don't Know, new So-So's on Music Friday.
I don't know your number. And I don't know your picture, and I don't know your face. I don't know anything, but I'm sure I know this place. So take me through this garden, take me through this place. I know we all have been here. My mind's just in a daze. And I don't know no secrets. And I don't have no shame. I don't know anything, no, no. But I know I'm not to blame. And I don't know your deal. And I don't know where your head lays. No, I don't know anything, but I'm sure I know this game. So take me through this garden, take me through this place. I know we all have been here. My mind's just in a daze. Thank you. And I don't know your number. And I don't know your claim. Well, I don't know anything. But I know there's room for change. So take me through this garden. Take me through this place. I know we all have been here. Am I just in a daze?
So-Sos, I Don't Know on Music Friday as we talk to Chris Monteleone from So-Sos, who will be performing at Lulu's Bait Shack Wednesday night for Lulu's original night. They'll be in the 8:30 slot, nice and early, so even for a school night, you can go out, see some great original music, support the cause, and get home at a decent hour. Now, Chris, a couple of comments here. First of all, that sonically that sounds a little bit better than just putting a mic in the middle of a circle with you guys performing. So nice work on the mix there as well.
Cool, thank you, man.
And that's you singing on that, I take it?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. So here's where we go. Here's we go to categorize the genre of music. Very, very good time vibe going on there. And I can see where you have a little tinge of the bluegrass thing like you talked about, maybe if you compare it vibe-wise. But where do you categorize your music as far as genre in an era where there are just way too many genres to even pick from?
Yeah, that's true. There is too many, man. I basically always just tell people it's acoustic, and if I had to describe it, I'd say it would be like Jack Johnson meets, Ben Harper, and sometimes G-Love, like, rhythmically, we'll get into some stuff like that, and then if you listen to the album, there's actually a lot of dark stuff on the first album. It almost sounds like Roger Waters kind of stuff.
So aside from the songs that really just come to you out of nowhere, what are you writing about thematically? Are you getting autobiographical in your writing? I mean, sometimes you just can't help that.
Yeah, it's all personal experiences or experiences of people that are close to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, everyone always writes around relationships and things like that. I more and more I'm finding that I think I write more about conflict than anything else.
Okay.
And I didn't realize it and actually until this album, I'm like, listening back to it, and I'm like, there's a lot of negative things I'm dealing with on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, man. I didn't realize it, but almost every song has got the word no in it, no.
Aha. Uh-huh. Nice.
It's like, it's weird, man. It's just like, it's almost like therapeutic.
Sometimes you discover what you're writing about after you're done writing it, you know?
Yeah, it's strange.
Very, very cool. So we're going to play two more tunes on this during this half-hour edition of Music Friday with Chris Monteleone, who's from So-Sos. We're looking forward to having them at Lulu's Bait Shack Wednesday night. Before we play another tune, give some props here to the band members that will be joining you for this gig coming up Wednesday night.
Okay, yeah. We have Jerry Weber's playing drums and snapping his fingers. We have Mitch Herrick. He'll be playing acoustic guitar and singing. Ben Manberg, he plays upright bass and he also sings. And then we have Dave Klein, who plays djembe, some shakers, and pump organ, and he also sings. And then I play, guitar, banjo, mandolin, and I sing too. So we got a lot of guys singing, which is nice. And let me say too, Lulu's is like a great place probably to come see us, just because, it's down on the beach, it's open air, you got that beach vibe. And it just works really well with our music. So if you want to catch a good show at a good place, that's probably the best place to come check us out.
Yeah. I agree. Very casual, laid-back atmosphere there. And I think you guys will fit in perfectly well. And from the way you described it, it sounds like there's a lot of percussion going on almost all the time during the set, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Enough to keep your head bopping throughout the whole show.
my percussion player kind of he switches around a little bit. He actually plays the organ on some songs, and a couple songs he'll switch to banjo.
Mm-hmm.
So we change it up a little bit, which is kind of nice. It gives people something to look at as well as while they're listening. And another thing about this music, it's all based around root instruments. There's no electric instruments in the band. Down to like we have this pump organ. It's like, you know, 2 foot pedals that fill up a bag of air that sends the air through these reeds, and they're played like, you know, like a keys, like a church organ. And it's about 100 years old, this thing that we've been playing, you know.
Hmm.
Every instrument comes from a root source. Like every, you know, when you had guitars were made, they were all acoustic back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Someone electrified it and created a new sound. And same with the organ that we play. It's the same thing. It came from an acoustic instrument and then later became like electrified, like the B3s, you know, the Hammonds, and then the Rhodes came out with the electric piano. So what we've done is we've kind of gone backwards. We've gone back to all those root instruments, and we figure, you know, if we can write a song and make it come through on these instruments, then we're doing something right. Yeah, you know, we're stripping it down.
Absolutely. And I mean, it was those instruments were probably not fully appreciated, and therefore, I mean, you guys aren't the only ones bringing them back. It seems to be somewhat of a trend these days.
I've noticed that too, and it's funny because we've been doing it for about 6 years.
Right.
And you know, then there's these bands like Mumford & Sons just came out, you know, and the Avett Brothers and all these like these really cool bands that are just popping out of nowhere.
Right.
It's been around for a while, but there's a lot of really cool bands coming out of left field. Like there's a band called Low Anthem. I just got an email from them today saying they're playing on David Letterman. And they have a very similar instrumentation to what we're doing, and they all sing, and they all switch instruments, and they even have a little pump organ like us. And I'm like, how weird is that? You know, it's like these guys they're crossing. They're making it to that big time now. They just hit it.
Yeah, that Charlie Mars album that came out recently a year or so ago, that had some of that organic feel to it as well. I think in addition to the traditional instruments coming back, I also think that a lot of people are getting back to recording as much of their music live as possible and not so much one instrument at a time. It's nice to get everybody playing at once, feeding off each other, and that way you get the feel of a real performance. How much of that did you do as well once you finally had the chance to do that?
You know what? It's funny. On this new album, half the tracks are recorded live.
Good.
We did a live, and man, they feel good. And then another thing, you know, if people are listening, they want to check us out, go over to YouTube and punch in So-So's Aura Fest, because we just played this festival last weekend, a big festival sold out, Central Florida. And backstage, Sun Sentinel did an interview with us, and they decided to shoot it on do a four-camera shoot. And we decided to play live for them. And we did it, no PA, just sat around and played. And one of our friends had a little handy cam with him and recorded us.
Nice.
And he put that up on the site. And it's almost the entire song. It's a little clipped at the beginning. But we're going to actually take those four cameras and make a video out of it. But right now on YouTube, it's just the one camera, someone kind of holding the camera and shooting it. And that's the best way to really get a feel for what we do, is just go on YouTube and watch that. So-So's Aura Fest. You'll see us sitting on a porch playing. And it's, to me, it's like one of my favorite performances, because it's like it's so stripped down that that's it. That's exactly what it is.
That's
know?
Fantastic. Well, then we'll go ahead and post a direct link to that video so that people can check it out after they hear you in this interview. So-So's performing Wednesday night at Lulu's Baycheck for Original Music Night. Come on out, folks. We're trying to pick up the original music scene here in Broward County. Here's another track from So-So's. This one is called You Were Screamin'. Anything we should know about this before we roll it?
This is one night we were playing at Tijuana Flats, which is kind of funny. We actually play almost all of them. We came in there and they bought us a meal after we were done eating and, you know, drinks. And we had a couple of drinks. We were just hanging out, having a good time. And they have a whole huge selection of hot sauces there. And my buddy's like, you got to try this one over here, blah, blah, blah. And I went to go grab it and I grabbed the wrong one. I turned out I grabbed the hottest one they had, and it was an accident. And here I am eating this, and for like 20 minutes, my eyes are just watering like crazy. God, I can't believe I just ate that, you know? Anyway, I had a little buzz going, and when I got home that night, sometimes, you know, after playing a show, you still got the vibe going, and I usually come home, I pack my stuff into my studio, and sometimes a riff comes to me or something, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And I didn't even really realize from where. I just kind of like had like a little chorus, kind of, or just a couple lines I was singing and playing on my mandolin. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'll record this. And then the next day, I just kind of finished it up.
Yeah.
And there's no chorus in the song. The chorus is actually a musical hook. And I just finished writing it up. I'm like, this is kind of cool. And then as I read it back, I'm like, you know what? It was sparked off of eating this hot sauce.
Right.
But it's one of those songs that it doesn't say it's about hot sauce, but that's what sparked it.
It's always great when a band incident lives on in the title of a song like that. That's fantastic stuff. Yeah. All right, well, here it is. You Were Screaming. Hopefully we'll hear this one live. It's So-So's on Music Friday.
Last time I saw you, you were screaming. I saw your eyes, they were so cold. Mostly spent my time just dreaming how to make it through this low. But time I always seem to waste it on things left unfold. Maybe in time I'll try to change it, so life won't be so dull. I see hearts and stones staring at me. Reminds me of my place. Won't sway too far from me. Life's balance lays awake. I saw your face, it was bleeding. Tears from your eyes, they were so cold. Last night I must have been dreaming. I saw your face, it was so old. So cold. Mostly spend my time just dreaming how to make it through this low. I saw your face, it was bleeding. Tears from your eyes, they were so cold. Last night I must have been dreaming. I saw your face, it was so old. Last time I saw you, you were screaming. I saw your eyes, they were so cold. I saw your face, it was bleeding. Tears from your eyes, they were so cold. Last night I must have been dreaming. I saw your face, it was so old. Maybe in time I'll try to change it, so life won't be so dull.
New music from So-So's, You Were Screaming on Music Friday. We were talking to Chris Monteleone from So-So's, and you know, you go back to talking about using those roots instruments. It's amazing that by just using those instruments, you just automatically create a feel of an earlier era. I mean, we got like 70s Mungo Jerry type stuff going on there. You know what I mean? Just automatically from the use of those instruments, right?
Okay, I don't know who that is, but sure.
in the summertime, when that whole kind of feel, that good time sort of happy go lucky feel, you know, from using those instruments. But
I never thought about that, but you're right. It does have kind of a feel to it.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of the sounds of those instruments just sort of lend itself to that feel. It's so retro, and so it's amazing how things these days, when they get sort of retro, it really ends up being new and fresh in the oddest way, you know?
Yeah, true.
Let me get into this question with you personally. You first and foremost, I know you do a lot of producing, and you're singing with this group, and playing guitar, I imagine, as well. What did you consider yourself musically like from an early age, primarily? What was your main instrument and your main thing when you first got into music?
It was always guitar. You know, that was my first instrument. I've been playing for forever, you know.
You wanted to be a rock guitar hero?
Yeah, well, kind of. Actually, I listened to a lot of, like, Dream Theater and stuff like that growing up.
Right.
Fate's Warning and, like, all kinds of, like, really progressive, heavy bands. And to me, that was, like, I just loved the way they wrote, how there was just so much going on. You know, it was heavy music, and most people probably didn't like it, but I appreciated it. You know, I'd go and I'd watch the band, and I'd be like, wow, I'd just be blown away by what they're doing. So I actually used to write a lot like that. And I have probably a whole album's worth of stuff that's just insane, very notey, you know, and very difficult to play. And
Dream Theater, I mean, you're talking about something that's pretty elite there as far as that era goes, because you're not only talking about heavy music, but you're talking about intellectual music and kind of musically advanced as well, too.
Yeah. And what would happen, you know, when a band, like, you know, would put a song together that had a lot going on it, like Metallica, for instance, right? They were like a great band that had, you know, they had tremendous music ability. And then when you combine that and actually put a song together that works,
right,
that cuts across the board, it's like, to me, that's like, that's great. That's something that's going to last forever. Like Led Zeppelin, like No Quarter or something. Just brilliant songwriting. And just, I don't know, just, you know, when you put the two together, you got something that's going to last, I always thought. But then it was like, over time, it was like, you know, stuffing a lot of crap into a song doesn't necessarily make it good. So
right.
I started stripping stuff down, and that's where I came to the conclusion, like, oh, you know what's a good example? Like John Lennon's Imagine. You listen to that song, it's a very simple song. It was played on his aunt's piano. It's not the best sounding piano in the world, but it didn't matter. The recording's not even that great, but it didn't matter because the song was great. It mm-hmm. came all stripped down, nice and simple. And the stuff like that gets me thinking, like, you know, if you can take a you know, a crappy guitar, like on my album, the guitar I'm using on it was a $5 garage find. My girl had found, and it was literally falling apart. And I glued it back together the way the thing sounded, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're making an interesting comparison here. You talk about songs like Imagine and No Quarter, these timeless classics. I mean, not that No Quarter and Imagine are similar by any stretch of the imagination, but you talk about Imagine, simple chords, a relatively simple progression, but the message there is really what brings that song into the next, you know, next category. It stands alone, you know, when your theme and your subject matter is as intense and global, for lack of a better word, as Imagine is, then, you know, it's no wonder that it's the timeless classic that it is.
Yeah, true. But I was going back to more of the production standpoint.
Right.
When you have a great song that's written the way it is, it doesn't make a difference how you could have recorded that with one microphone, you know, onto a piece of tape, and it wouldn't matter. It was just such a great song. Like you said, it just comes through. It's timeless. And those are the things that make me think about songwriting. It's like, all right, if I can write a song and make it come through in its simplest form, then hopefully I have something, you know?
Right. And then the whatever production value was in the record just becomes special by association, you know, and then people will tell you how brilliantly you produced it after the fact, you know. So this is really interesting stuff, and I'm sure that we could get into hours and hours of technical geeky talk that would bore the audience to death, but we won't do that right now. The matter at hand is that So-So's will be performing now. Reggie, you once in a while have been involved in Crystal Hartigan's songwriting showcases as well. We always like to mention her because she's also on a really good mission to, you know, expose the songwriters and the original musicians in this area.
Yeah, she's great for the community, and we love her to death, man. I'm so glad there's people like her around.
Yep, so keep an eye out for Chris at future performances with Crystal's songwriting showcases. All right, time for one more song. Tell us a little bit about Where's My Son, another new song from So-So's.
Yeah, again, this is one that kind of melodically was actually inspired by a local artist, this guy, Mike Mineo, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
I was downtown. I played a show. And after my show, I went over to Fat Cast, and he was over there playing in there. And there were some guys out in the street kind of actually knocking him a little bit, you know, about the way he performed or stuff. And I'm like, that's kind of weird, you know. I went in there to check him out, and I was really impressed. I was like, this guy, he's got something. I couldn't believe he's a local guy from Boca. And he had one song that just floored me. So I bought a CD and listened to it on the way home. It's something about it just kind of inspired me musically. So I kind of, you know, came home, and I'm not saying I wrote a song that sounds like him. It absolutely doesn't. But he has a quirky something about him. And so in this song, I just was putting my gear again back, coming home from my gig, putting in the studio. It was probably 3 or 4 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And I got this little line going through my head, where is my son, you know, and a melodic hook vocally.
Nice.
I was like, all right, cool. So I just sat down and I laid down the progression. It was just a 3-chord chorus, nothing special, you know, but the vocal line was very catchy. And so I laid it down real quick, and then I started to kind of come up with a verse. And it's funny, the first word in the verse is, when did simple become so complex? And the music just changes and goes in a whole nother direction, and it becomes a 10-chord progression. And it's very hard to follow. And I actually wrote a part on the organ that I had to scratch because we couldn't play it live. It was too difficult.
Wow. Very, very cool. I'm looking forward to hearing this. And I'm actually hearing it for the first time with everybody else as we play it. And then we'll get into, you know, it's tough. That's not the first story I've heard about how tough those crowds are at Fat Cats. I've heard a lot of people criticizing bands in there before.
I tell you what, check this guy out. He's great. He's freaking great. I was just blown away. I just, you know, loaded a CD into my iPod the other day, and I listen to it all the time. I'm like, this guy's got this one particular song that just blows my mind. I'm like, this guy could seriously blow up. You know?
Excellent. Well, Arm, we'll listen to Where's My Son here, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about songwriting before we close this thing off. Here's So-So's and Where's My Son. You can catch So-So's at Lulu's Wednesday night for Original Music Night. Here's Where's My Son on Music Friday.
This ain't fun. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my... What have I done? You know this ain't fun. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my... When does simple become so complex? Don't believe all that falls on your eyes. Our existence is a fraction of thought sparked in someone's mind. Struggling to find my place in it all, trying to smell the scenery. These stars are ashes of fire burning cold. I'm just looking for weather to melt my soul. What have I done? You know this ain't fun. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my... What have I done? You know this ain't fun. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my... I know I wear my past on my face. These lines, they tell of my smile. I used to live the life that I preached, but now it's been a while. How's one to teach without sacrifice when I have nothing to say? So thanks for noticing my fall. You know I come in waves. What have I done? No, this ain't fun. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my... What have I done? You know this ain't fun. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my... What What have I done? You know this ain't fun. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my... What have I done? You know this ain't fun. Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my son? Where is my...
Where's My Son from So-So's? You know, I envy you songwriters, man. We're talking to Chris Monteleone from So-So's. Because, you know, in all the attempts that I've made to write songs, I get to that point where you get a couple of chords and an idea and you lay it down. What ends up happening to me is I end up hating everything that I've started and just shelved it and never gone back to it. How do you get past that hump? Because that's the part I envy from you brilliant songwriters that I've come across on this show. And you know, all throughout my career, that's a hard hump to cross over, is that self-criticism and, you know, validating what you've just done and moving on to the next part of it.
Yeah, actually that song, when I wrote it, I almost shit canned it. Oh, sorry, I trashed it.
No, you can say shit canned all you want on this show.
Cool.
Yeah. And I mean, my God, and I did, you know, when you mentioned it, I had to listen to that 10 chord progression. That's really complex stuff. I can understand why you had to alter it for the live show, but you know, it's a tough barrier to get over in the songwriting process. And I just wanted to mention that I envy that part of the process with you guys. So
I actually took that song and simplified it. I had it as a 10 chord progression, and I added another organ part, which you didn't hear on there, cause I had to remove it cause we couldn't do it live. So
right.
I'm not going to put it out if we can't perform it.
Okay. Now I follow that part of the story. Okay, I got you. Now move on. And now tell me more about getting past that hump, though.
So, you know, it's funny. The first person I sent that song to was my bass player. And I said, what do you think of this? You know? And he said to me, he's like, it's too complex. He's like, you're going to lose the listener. And I'm like, all right, that's exactly what I thought when I wrote it. So I almost just said, all right, I'm just going to shelve the song, or maybe I'll just keep it for me, you know, just to have. And, you know, I played it out one time for my guitar player, and he's like, I love it. He's like, just leave it how it is. Don't change it. And I actually rewrote the song and turned it into a four chord song. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think it was an improvement. And the guitar player is like, you know what? Put it back to the 10 chord. Just leave it. He's like, it works. Just don't mess with it. It's the way you felt it. It's the way you wrote it. Just
right.
Leave it, you know? So it kind of like that helped me kind of validate a little bit, you know, because you do second guess yourself all the time. You're like, but part of it is you just got to stop thinking about what other people think so much and just do what feels right to you. Because when I sit down and play a song and it feels good to me, I'm just happy to be able to play it. And then when I you know, being able to produce and record and, you know, everything I do studio wise, I can lay it down and lay down all the parts to it. And when it comes together, I'm like, wow, that's cool. And to me, it just makes me smile. So if it works and makes me happy, then it's got to work on someone else.
Absolutely. I totally agree. My problem is, I can't even get to the point where I'm making myself happy with it. So that's where I lose it. And you got it separates the men from the boys, so to speak. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you coming on the show with me and sharing some of your new music with us. I'm really looking forward to hearing it live Wednesday night at Lulu's, bro.
Cool, man. Great. I appreciate the time, Bill.
Hey, and anytime, man. Great to have you on the show. We appreciate it. And folks, please do come out and check out Chris and So-So's. Hang on for just a second, Chris, and I'll say goodbye after we close off the show here. We'll catch everybody there at Lulu's Bait Shack on A1A in Beach Place, Fort Lauderdale Beach, Wednesday night. So-So's will be going on around 8:30 or so, so we will see you there. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and tune in Monday for another new show right here.
Log on each weekday for another edition of The Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's M-U-R-P-H @BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.